Leagues Radio Sport.
2.5 minutes after 5 o'clock on a Saturday evening on Manx Radio AM 1368, DAB and Manx Radio Digital. It's Simon Quine with your Saturday Sport Classified. Coming up then, we'll look through the day's results in football and rugby. We'll chat to Tony Meppham about the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup preliminary round, all the action from that preliminary round. We'll also have the draw for the first round, 16 teams in that, and the draw for the first round of the Cowell Cup as well. Coming up before 6 o'clock, we'll catch up with Dave Christian to find out about the big game in the Manx Cup today. Get full-time reaction from that. And if we've got time before 6 o'clock, we'll hear about some Isle of Man athletes heading off to the 2024 London Marathon, and we'll get the latest from FC Isle of Man in action at the Bowl this evening against AFC Liverpool. Rob Pritchard will be there for us. But at the time, just after 3 minutes after five, let's start with the classifieds results for today, and we'll start off with the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup preliminary round. It was Corinthians 8, Douglas High School Old Boys 2, Union Mills 2, Ayr 4, Foxdale 1, Douglas Royal 3, Maloo 6, Jims 3, Peel 10, Governors Athletic 1, Rushen 1, St John's 4, St Mary's 1, Ramsey 2 after extra time, Moround 3, Castletown 0, and Ramsey Youth Centre 8, Pulrose 0. Moving on to rugby, just the one game today in the Manx Cup, and that finished Ramsey 24, Douglas 55. No hockey, of course, today, so we'll move straight on. And Tony Meppham joining me in the studio. I can see you there, Tony, still scribbling furiously, trying to get the last few notes. And it's been a bit of a hectic day today, hasn't it?
Certainly has. And whenever it comes to cup games, we always know it's going to be a bit of a battle as possibly extra time, which we had. Luckily, it was the earlier kickoff at 1:45 at Rob's game. We'll bring you news from that in a minute. And all done and dusted apart from that one game in normal time.
OK, so let's start off then looking through these results. Corinthians 8, Douglas High School Old Boys 2. Big win for Corinthians today.
Certainly was. I'll bring Carl in a minute, our sponsor, who was at this game as well. He'll be able to put his view to it. But Old Boys took the lead. It was Keane Gagan with the first one. Robbie Ward got the second goal.
No, I think it was Danny Gillam.
Danny Gillam, was
no,
it?
No, Nick Bass, sorry. Nick Bass on the turn, he'll hate me for not coming in. It was a great finish, actually.
Yeah, Nick Bass got the second one, but Corinthians were well and truly in their stride after Keane had given Old Boys the lead. And Connor Clark, it was, with a hat-trick. Ronan McDonald got two. Joe Marquez got his name on the scale sheet. Josh Ryan's got one, and Declan Blake got one as well. And great to see Declan. He's only just turned 16 a couple of months ago, and scoring in their senior team, and had a great game on Tuesday against Ramsey as well. So well done to everybody involved in that. And Corinthians win. Old Boys, I think when you went 1-0 up, you fancied your chances, but the goals start to come in.
Yeah, I think we got it wrong from a management point of view, asking the lads to play a bit defensive. We went a bit deep at times, we could have pushed higher, but it was a hot day. Corinthians were well organised, well drilled, young lads, moved around for each other, moved on and off the ball, plenty of talking. They were good. This is a good team. We were just one of them. You just got to move past it.
Yeah. But Old Boys got some important games coming up, and Combination's still got a great opportunity of winning that league, haven't they?
No, we've got it's more going for like the Paul Henry Cup now,
first
isn't
team.
It? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Going for the Paul Henry Cup. So we've got a big game on Tuesday against Michael. All them are down today watching.
Yeah.
So
pressure on.
Yeah, hopefully we leave them to a false sense of security after they watch us today.
We'll bring Carl back in later on to do the cup draw. So second game, Union Mills and Ayr.
Yeah, Ayr carrying their league form into the cup today. 4-2 win for Ayr.
Yeah, it was. And I think it was Nick Hurt with an own goal, from what I'm hearing. And Luke Booth got the second one for Union Mills. For Ayr United, it was Jamie Callister with one, Sean Kelly, Louis Morris and Oran Mitchell. So Ayr United comfortably go through in the end into the draw later on.
And the game you were at this afternoon, Foxdale 1, Douglas Royal 3.
Yeah, I didn't think we were ever going to get a goal in this one, to be honest with you, because it was 0-0 at half-time, and Foxdale had some chances in that first 45 minutes. And you know, it just didn't happen for them. Dean Betteridge probably guilty of a real opportunity, one just right in front of goal, but put it over the top. But once Douglas Royal got it sorted out in the second half, and I think it helped with Dominic McCarrie-Brennan coming on, and Jack Adams, got the first one. George Newton, I thought, was excellent at the back with the second one, and Andy Asbridge got a goal as well. So the important thing for Douglas Royal, they're in the hat, and hopefully one or two players who weren't available today will be there for next week's game.
Malou 6, Jim's 3. We've just had a text in as well here with the Malou goal scorers on, which thank you for those. We've got those here as well. Tony will take you through as a second. But three great results on the bounce now for Malou.
Yeah, it is. And I thought midweek against Douglas High School All Boys was a great performance because they were trailing 3-0 at half time and got it back to 4-4 at the end. And from what I heard, you know, Malou maybe had some chances to win it. Don't know. But certainly today, Kieran Krippner was the star of the show. He got three of the goals. Paddy Cooper got one. Mike Kenny with a goal. And Daniel Thurwell got the last one. So it finished up 6-3. Haven't got Malou, Jim's goal scorers.
Out in the West, the Island Peel ruthless in front of goal today. 10-1 winners over Governors Athletic.
Yeah, I think I've got a bit of a report on this one, so we'll be able to bring you that, because I know Governors Athletic kept it really tight for quite a while, and it was down to just fitness, I think, in the end. And the report I've had in is credit to Governors for a battling first half performance on their first visit to Douglas Road. I thought it might have been unsettling. Peel equalising after 29 minutes before running out of steam in the last 10 minutes when they conceded 5 goals. The goal scorers for Peel were Paul Whitehead. He got 4. Taylor Andrews got 3. Lewis Moran, Thomas Brown, Rhys Oates, and the Governors Athletic goal scorer in the first half was Kyle Jackson. Half-time score was only 2-1. I've seen it so many times before where you just give everything, and that's what Governors have done today, and just tanks empty second half, and that's what's happened today with Peel getting 5 goals in the last 10 minutes. So well done to Peel. Go into the hat.
But I'd heard that on the way in, that was 2-1 at half time. Heard Paul mention that update, and I think Governors can take, you know, a lot from that. They've held Peel for 45 minutes at 2-1, and like you say, it's just the fitness, isn't it, and experience.
Yeah, credit to Governors. They're vastly improved side this year. Different personnel in there. There's a lot of younger legs in. Still some mature people in there that help things through. But, you know, Governors will be looking to, you know, maybe pick up one or two players, get a good pre-season in, and have a little go at Division 2, see if they can do something in there, because they're younger players, tall, fit, which all helps. And, yeah, credit to them today. They had a right good go in that first 45 minutes. But unfortunately for them in the second half, the supremacy and the ability shone through.
OK, move on to Rushen 1, St John's 4.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a, well, surprise for me, I think, this one, the size of the score, because, you know, Rushen have been in great form. Mm. And we were going back to January, I think it was, the last time they got defeated. But today, you know, got a bit of a hiding, really, to be fair. Callum Taggart got the first one for St John's, and then Luke Murray helped himself to a hat-trick. One of them's from the penalty spot. I will check later on who got Rushen's goal. But the important thing for St John's, they beat one of the contenders, because Rushen was sixth in the Premiership. I know St John's are just below them, and they'll be looking for the draw later.
And the game Rob Pritchard was at for us this afternoon, it was 1-1 until, I think, the 118th minute. It was a pretty much last-minute penalty. St Mary's 1, Ramsey 2 after extra time.
Yeah, and Rob is... good as he is, has given us a match report. And as you rightly say, St Mary's 1, Ramsey 2 after extra time. 0-0 at half time, 1-1 after 90 minutes. St Mary's goal scorer was Joe Burquist. For Ramsey, their scorers were Harry Blissett, who was the second half substitute, and Ryan Kinraid from the penalty spot. That was the winning goal, because it was basically the last few seconds, because as soon as the penalty was taken, scored, the final whistle went. Fast pace, but goalless first half with few clear-cut chances. Biggest opportunity in the first period on 35 minutes when Adam Adibai was brought down in the Ramsey box. Referee pointed the spot before Joe Burquist saw his spot kit saved by James Rice, good goalkeeper. 6 minutes into the second half, St Mary's took the lead when Adibai's cutback from the left found Burquist on the edge of the box, who rifled a shot into the top corner. Ramsey got level within 5 minutes of normal time left. Andy Cleeter with a ball over to St Mary's defence to find Blissett, who one-on-one with Russ Dawson took the ball into the bottom corner. With an eventful extra time, looking destined for penalties, Ramsey were awarded a penalty with 2 minutes left when Alfie Scott was brought down in the box. Ryan Kinraid stepped up with Dawson, guessing the right way on the penalty to his left, but couldn't stop Kinraid's shot flying into the top corner to see Ramsey progress right at the death. Well done, Rob. Great report, and Ramsey beat St Mary's.
Okay, and Moran 3, Castletown 0.
Yeah, that's a good result for Moran. They're in great form at the moment, and Sam Renshaw got one, Alex McCorry got one, and Tom Redmond got the other goal. So a real good result that from Moran against their second place Division 2 side Castletown.
And final game then in the Hospital Cup preliminary round, two Ramsey teams in the hat for the next draw. Ramsey Youth Centre 8, Paul Rose 0.
Yeah, good result for Ramsey Youth Centre, and the star today was Jamie Brew. He got 3. Ross Crawford got a couple of goals. It was Leighton Blackard got one. Ballard, Josh Evans got a goal, and Noah Sale got the other one. So good result that for Ramsey Youth Centre against Pulley.
Okay then, Tony, let's move on then, and let's get on with the draw for the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup first round. 16 teams in the hat, and I'll let you do the honours. You've got the bag there, have you?
Certainly have, and once again to Carl Gartland and Lee as well from Manx Quality Sheds, who sponsor the Hospital Cup this season. And unfortunately, Carl's team have gone out. Yeah. So it does show that the draw is legit. And there's no sort of untoward things done. I can't get old boys in somehow, Carl.
I tried to slip them back in for you looking then, but...
So we've got 16 teams in the hat. These games take place next Saturday, so it's basically every Saturday now. And if you could do the draw, please, Carl.
No problem. 16.
And number 16 is St John's.
Number 11.
And number 11 is Onchan.
Number 4.
Number 4 is Corinthians.
Gets number 9.
And number 9 is Moran.
Number 6.
Number 6 is Douglas Royal.
Number 5.
And number 5 is Douglas and District.
Number 3.
Number 3 is a home game for Colby.
Against number 1.
And number 1 is Ayr.
Number 10.
Number 10 is Michael.
Number 7.
And number 7 is Laxey.
Number 13.
Number 13, Ramsey.
Number 15.
And number 15 is St George's.
Number 14.
Number 14 is Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
Number 8.
Number 8 is Malou.
And then that leaves number 2.
Number 2 is a home game for Braddon.
Number 12.
And number 12 is Peel. Did you get those?
I did get
those. I'll let you announce them.
Okay, so your first round for the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup, first round, these games all to be played next Saturday, is St John's v Onchan, Corinthians v Moran, Douglas Royal v Douglas and District, Colby v Ayr, Michael v Laxey, Ramsey against St George's, Ramsey Youth Centre, and Old Boys against Malou and Braddon Peel.
Yeah, interesting there, Tony. Yeah, the first one that came out of the hat I quite like, because St John's, I think, are mid-table, about seventh in the Premier League, against Onchan, who I think at the moment are in the driving seat to win that Division 2. So that'd be a really interesting game. But with Luke Murray back in for St John's, they look a formidable side. Corinthians against Moran. Moran beat Corinthians 2-0. Only a few weeks ago, so Corinthians will be looking to chalk one back on that one. Douglas Royal against Douglas and District. Douglas Royal, I would think, will have players possibly back in for next Saturday, so they'll be a lot stronger, so you go with Royal. Colby against Ayr. Their suspensions now are starting to come to an end, so they'll be a lot stronger, but I'd expect Ayr to win that. Michael against Laxey. Michael challenging near the top of Division 2 against the Laxey side, who promised so much at the start of the season, but it hasn't quite happened for them, and it'd be nice to finish off with a trophy, if you like, in the Hospital Cup. There's nothing better. You've got Ramsey against St George's. I'd go for Ramsey today. Tough performance against St Mary's, but they got the result they wanted. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against Malou. They're both near enough in the same stage of the league, Div 2. But Ramsey Youth Centre scoring goals, that's the important thing for them today. So I'll go for Ramsey Youth Centre. And Braddon against Peel. They've had good battles this year. But, Peel have just had the bragging rights over it. And I think Peel will beat Braddon.
Okay, and next Saturday, so you'll be at one of those games. Hopefully have Rob out at one of those games as well, so full coverage on it. Saturday live throughout the afternoon next Saturday. Carl, thank you very much for joining us as well for the draw.
No problem at all. No worries.
We've got another draw to do as well, Tony, but I think what we'll do first, just so we can get the balls back in the bag and everything, get make sure we've got the eight that we need in there, we will go to Dave Christian, and we will look back on today's rugby. Just the one game in the Manx Cup, Ramsey 24, Douglas 55, and your thoughts on that, Dave?
Yeah, good afternoon or good evening, Simon. It was a Manx Cup qualifying game. Douglas had already made the final. Ramsey needed a single point from the match or to lose by 102 points or less. They got a bit of both.
Okay, Dave, you just got some, just got a little bit of issue on your line there. What we'll do is we will just, what I'll do is I'll take a quick piece off. We'll look ahead to tomorrow's, shall we, London Marathon, Dave. We'll try you again in just a couple of minutes, and let's do this, and then hopefully we can bring you rugby in just a couple of minutes' time. But tomorrow is indeed travelling a large contingent of Isle of Man athletes expected to take part in the 2024 London Marathon. Along with attracting some of the biggest and best long-distance athletes in the world, the occasion also sees people from all walks of life get involved for different causes and goals. Among those from the island taking up the challenge this year are Jonathan Pugh and Nicky Arthur.
Manx Radio Sport.
I've tried on numerous occasions to get in either through the ballot or good for age. So yeah, I'm really excited. Got a place this year because it's so difficult to get into. As a kid, I used to always sit down with my mum and dad and watch it on the television in the 80s when we used to always sit down and watch it. So it'll be nice to actually run it for real and see all the iconic, it's sort of, you know, Big Ben and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that side of it. So my mum trained as a nurse on the Isle of Man in the late 70s, early 80s. And moved over to Clatterbridge to work, and she helped set up the lymphedema service over there that a lot of Manx people go to from Nobles. So when she retired, she helps for a charity called Maggie's, and I've set up a Just Giving page, and the Manx people have been very generous and sponsored me. I'm trying to run sub 3 hours. This is my sixth marathon. I've come close but not quite broken that 3 hour barrier yet, so I'd love to break 3 hours. I've got a coach who thinks that it's well within my capabilities this time, so hopefully I can prove them right.
The route is lovely for a start, getting through like the city like that and getting to experience the crowds. It's just like it's electric from the beginning right the way through to the end, and there's no point of the route where you just don't have support. It's like just fantastic. And distance running on the Isle of Man at the moment is absolutely phenomenal for such a small little population. Like, we've got absolutely amazing class like athletes, and there's just so many new names on the list of marathons that are taking part. It's fantastic that there's so many Manx athletes able to take part in such a big event. And I think because people are doing marathons a lot more, like, you maybe don't appreciate just how hard these events are. So anybody that's starting on Sunday, well done to everybody for taking part and getting it done. When I went to do London the first time, and my partner Oren was like, oh, you'll just love it. And I was like, oh yeah, I'd done a load of road races, and I was like, yeah, they're fine, but it's just something else. Like, it's just unbelievable. And then there's always Manxies out on the route like supporting as well, which is ace. And particularly if you're not expecting them, like, that's really, really nice, like turning around a corner at like mile 18 and there's a friendly face. It's just brilliant.
Looking ahead there to the London Marathon, which takes place tomorrow, to Isle of Man athletes heading down to the capital to take part in that. Jonathan Pugh and Nicky Arthur we heard from. A couple of gremlins in the system, but I think Dave sorted those out now. So let's go back to Dave Christian and have a look back at today's rugby action.
Yes, sorry about that, Simon. I think we're fixed. Douglas had already qualified for next week's Manx Cup final, but they underlined their strength this afternoon with a 55-24 win at the Murrock Park. A game of two halves, I guess, is probably the best way to describe it. Douglas led 31-7 at half-time, and that means that the second half, Ramsey had come back into it quite a bit. Second half was 24 points to 17, which is a much better reflection of the way Ramsey wanted to play. Ramsey needed to lose by 102 points or less, or pick up a bonus point in the game, and the last minute try from Rory Nicholson secured them that bonus point, which means that they automatically qualify the final and don't have to count up how many points scored for and against. Douglas raced into an early lead. Within a quarter of an hour, they were 12-0 up. A try from hooker Jack Loughnan and a penalty try. The penalty try saw Ramsey's Brandon Atchison draw a yellow card from referee Rob Martin, and he had 10 minutes in the cooler. While they were down to 14, Rory Nicholson pulled one back for Ramsey at the other end. Nathan Robson converted, and it was a five-point game, and that was with about a quarter of an hour gone. 12-7 the score stood. Douglas then pulled away in the first half. Tries from Ralph Clark, Harry Hewson and Kyle Martin put a lot of daylight between Ramsey and Douglas. Luke Highland kicked a couple of conversions in all that, and that gave Douglas their half-time advantage, 31-7. Ramsey didn't switch on at the beginning of the second half, and Sam McCord scored twice for Douglas in the opening 4 minutes. The first try came after just 39 seconds. One of those was converted by Lucas Simmons, and that really meant that the match was over as a contest. But Ramsey knew if they kept on plugging away, they would get some reward, and they were after those four tries. Brandon Atchison pulled one back after a quarter of an hour. But that was immediately cancelled out when Sam McCord went in at the other end for his hat-trick, and Lucas Simmons added a conversion to that, which brought up the 50-point mark for Douglas. Josh Cateen, he bagged Ramsey's third. Robson converted that from out wide and dragged them back into the game. That was their third score, and meaning they were only one try away from that bonus point that they were after. Nathan Robson converted Cateen's score, but Douglas struck again. It was tit for tat in that second half, and it was Jack Loughnan picked up his second of the match. As the final whistle approached, Rory Nicholson burrowed his way under a pile of bodies for his second of the game, and that gave Ramsey their bonus point and ensured automatic qualification. The finals next week, it's Ramsey against Douglas, and it's at Ramsey, so it's a carbon copy of what we had today. Ramsey have had an opportunity to look at Douglas and see if there's anything they can do during the week to improve their defensive shift, because that's really where it let them down in that first half. But no taking away anything from Douglas. They were exceptionally good last week against Vagabonds. They were really good again today. Sam McCord, excellent from fullback. And in the forwards, Liam Kirkpatrick was everywhere. The number eight was on the ball on the ground, hoovering up anything that was loose and really putting the mockers on anything Ramsey were trying to do. A couple of injuries for both sides. Luke Highland went off for Douglas at half-time. Ramsey lost Joey Callow and Brandon Atchison with injuries, so it remains to be seen if those players will get their way back to fitness in time for next Saturday. Fingers crossed for everybody, and good luck for a speedy return to action. It's going to be a belter next week. We've got a Manx Plate final at 1 o'clock. That's Southern Nomads versus Vagabonds. And the Manx Cup final, Ramsey against Douglas. That's at 3 o'clock, at all down at the Mirrick Park.
Dave Christian, thank you very much. And as says there, more rugby coming up next week. You can join Rob on the Friday Sport Preview from 6 o'clock next Friday evening. Find out all about those fixtures. And then Dave back with the Sport Preview on Saturday and throughout the afternoon on Saturday Live with updates. Right, let's rather unusually turn our attention back to football now, Tony. We've got another draw to do.
We certainly have, and Carl's stayed behind to do it. He's getting a professional at this now, and unfortunately old boys are out of this one as well, so he can't get them back in. So it's the Cal Cup, and it all started off on Thursday, and seven teams it was who got beat. One was got a bye. So we've got the eight winners here. And Carl, if you could do the draw, please.
No problem. Number eight.
Number eight is Russian.
Number two.
And number two is Corinthians.
Number three.
Number three is Maroon.
Number six.
Number six, Ramsey.
Number seven.
Number seven, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
Number four.
Number four is Onken.
Number five.
Number five is a home game for Peel.
Number one.
And number one is Braddon. So the draw there for the quarterfinals is Russian against Corinthians, Maroon against Ramsey, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against Onken, and Peel against Braddon. I know you're going to ask me, where do I see these ties going? It's Russian's first game, so it's hard to judge them at the moment, but Corinthians have got a lot of first-team players in there, so they're looking strong. They had a good result midweek. Maroon against Ramsey. Ramsey had that 12-0 win, so that's going to be a good battle as well, because Maroon have got some really good players in there. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against Onken. Probably go for Onken in that tie. And Peel against Braddon. Two strong teams, but I think Peel have just got the edge with just a little bit more experience in there.
Peel against Braddon in both draws there.
Yeah, it is. Well. And, you know, it's just the way it works out. And, you know, one or two people have said Cal Cup used to be a league system. It did.
Yeah.
But we changed it back to the Cup just purely at the moment because we've got such a backlog of fixtures. There's a lot of these players who are playing first team and combi, so they could end up playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they're back into it on Saturday and Sunday again. They've got exams to deal with, everything else. It's just too much. And also the referees as well. We'd probably be short on referees. So last year we did a cup. This year we'd do the cup. And it's just one of those, because we've got such amount of fixtures to try and slot in, it's down to a cup competition.
I was going to ask you about that as well, Tony. How's the fixture book looking now?
It's not looking too bad. Today was glorious, wasn't it?
It
was the first sunny day that we've had out there, and all the games are on. We've got Junior Cup starts tomorrow with the Ascot Hotel, so looking forward to that. That's for the combination teams. Then we've got rearranged fixtures Tuesday, Wednesday, Cal Cup. We've just done the draw Thursday, and then we go back into the Hospital Cup on Saturday, and then the Junior Cup again on Sunday. So yeah, still a lot of fixtures to go, and we're going to be right up to the wire to get it finished just before TT.
But it always works out in the end, doesn't it?
It does.
It's always fun.
We get there.
Favourite time of the year, isn't it, Tony? Yeah.
All right, Tony, thank you very much, Carl. Thank you again for your help with both of those draws, Carl, from Manx Quality Sheds. Right, FC Isle of Man in action at the Bowl this evening. Penultimate game of the season, final home game as well for the Ravens, in a fairly rich run of form at the moment as they approach the climax of their second season in the North West Counties Football League Premier Division. And on commentary duty for us this evening down at the Bowl with team news just in, we join Rob Pritchard. Good evening, Rob.
Yeah, good evening, Simon. Welcome to a sun-kissed Bowl, as it has been throughout the day, ahead of this NWCFL Premier Division clash between FC Isle of Man and AFC Liverpool, with kick-off in just over 30 minutes' time. We do indeed have the teams to take to the pitch at 6 p.m. We'll start with the hosts. FC Isle of Man in goal is number 1, Adam Killier. Then it's number 2, Jack Higgins. Number 3, Jacob Crook. Number 14, Jack McVeigh. Number 5, Alex Maitland. Number 6, Carl Watson. Number 7, Steve Whitley. Number 8, and the captain, is Frank Jones. Number 9, Dan Hattersley. Number 10, Samuel Baines. And number 11 is Harley Jackson, the substitutes for FC Isle of Man. Number 12, Thomas Creer. Number 15, Ryan Gartland. Number 16, Jamie Collett. Number 17, Charlie Higgins. Number 18 is Tiernan Garvey. And for the visitors, Phil Stafford's AFC Liverpool side. In goal is number 1, David Parkinson. Then it's number 2, Jensen Butterworth. Number 3, Ben Lightfoot. Number 4, Adam Moorcroft. Number 5, Matthew Brown. Number 6, Owen Jones. Number 7, Luke Porter. Number 8, Daniel Mahaffey. Number 9, the captain, Tom Crocken. Number 10, Andrew Starkey. And number 11 is Jack Flight, the substitutes for AFC Liverpool. Number 12, Alex McDonald. Number 14, Joseph Cunningham. Number 15, Evan Smith. Number 16, Adam Sudworth. And number 17 is Liam Patton. Your referee this evening is Sam Fletcher, and his assistants are Robert Slinger and Matthew Shaw. Well, as you've pointed out already, Simon, it is indeed FC Isle of Man's penultimate home game of the season. It was due to, in fact, be the last one. However, the Lower Breck game that's taking place next week, I should say, was rearranged from earlier this month due to flight disruption affecting the Lower Breck travelling team. So this is indeed the second-to-last game that FC Isle of Man have in this 2023-24 campaign. And as you've also alluded to as well, coming towards the latter stages of this current season, FC Isle of Man have hit some stronger form in recent weeks, but they come up against an AFC Liverpool side that have proved somewhat of a bogey team in league and cup competitions over the last couple of years. In the 5 meetings they've had with the Merseysiders up to date, the Ravens are yet to win any of those, with just the 1 draw, the 4-4 draw in the reverse fixture this season early in the campaign, and 4 defeats across league and cup competitions. And looking at the FC Isle of Man lineup, keeping up with the trend of recent weeks, it's a chance for Paul Jones to experiment with his squad a little bit, given it has been a very hectic last fortnight or so, and indeed this week. This is the 3rd game in 5 days for FC Isle of Man. Looking at some of the younger players that are taking to the pitch yet again today, looking at Harley Jackson, for example, who started to work his way into the squad in recent weeks. The likes of young striker Tom Creer coming back into the fold. He's been in and out the squad a little bit over the last few months. Looking at AFC Liverpool, for example, although they sit 14th in the table, so 4 places behind FC Isle of Man at the moment, they've hit some reasonable form themselves in recent weeks. However, they've won just 8 of their 24 games on the road in all competitions so far, and having conceded 111 goals in the league so far this season, only bottom of the table Skelmersdale United and Squires Gate in 22nd position have conceded more. Paul Jones, in his remarks going into this game, reckons this could be quite an open contest, and given both these sides are safe in the table and not having any particular ambitions further up the table or in cup competitions, this could prove a nice occasion for AFC Liverpool. This is their final game of the season to try and end things on a high. Meanwhile, FC Isle of Man will be hoping to get this first of two remaining home fixtures off to a positive start as well. Previous meetings between these two sides in the league have provided goals. Will we get more this evening? Well, we'll have to wait and see. FC Isle of Man versus AFC Liverpool kick off at 6 p.m, so in just under half an hour's time, and we'll have full live match commentary on Manx Radio DAB and AM 1368 from them. But in the meantime, back to you, Simon.
Rob, thank you very much. And as Rob says, there with full commentary from 6 o'clock this evening. And finally, on Saturday Sport Classified this evening, let's look ahead to a new tournament that launches tomorrow. It aims to boost women and girls cricket here on the Isle of Man. The Female Cricket Super Series is a short format competition for female players aged 13 and over and will run across 6 weekends between April and September. So what could this new concept achieve in the long term? To find out more, Manx Radio spoke to Ireland players Lucy Barnett and Danielle Murphy, as well as Isle of Man cricket development officer Greg Wright.
I think it'll definitely increase the number of women participants on the Isle of Man. It really gives them a chance to play hardball cricket without having to go straight into the men's league.
It's a great opportunity. It gives everyone like an inspiration, a pathway forward, rather than just playing softball or not having the opportunities at all. It definitely gives a massive opportunity to everybody to see where they can go and what they can do with cricket.
I think it'll definitely increase the strength of the squad and bring competition for places.
It's making more players come along, so it makes us much bigger and much stronger. So it's just putting more fight within it as well. So everyone's kind of having more competition to fight for places and stuff like that. And it's just giving another element to the game. And it's just making it a bit more exciting.
Yeah, hopefully it might open up the opportunity to have weekly women's only fixtures.
Especially now it's just been introduced into part of the curriculum for school. So like it's given an opportunity now as well to have a pathway outside of school for girls to get into that cricket and into taking part in it and seeing where they can go with it as well. So hopefully it will grow over the next few years to become even bigger than it is currently.
The reason for it and the rationale is just literally to give the girls opportunity to play hardball cricket. And as Danny alluded to, with it now being in secondary schools on the curriculum, it's a great opportunity to really give every aspect of the game, from softball through to hardball, through to club, through to national team. It's huge, and to back it up, because we're expecting it to be as big as we hope. So we're employing a female-only development officer to take on the role of growing the women's game on the island as well. We're starting this weekend, and we've got two teams scheduled down to play, which will be the Rubies and the Emeralds. Hopefully by the end of the summer we can see it grow to potentially four teams. We'd like to see that, with a longer term view of potentially eight teams, which will then allow us qualification for Women's World Cup qualifiers proper.
Greg Wright, Lucy Barnett and Danielle Murphy there, looking ahead to the new Female Cricket Super Series, which will take place for female cricket players aged 13 and over and run throughout the summer, or throughout April and September. Right, that's pretty much it for the Sports Classified this evening. Just before we go, let's have a quick recap of the two draws we brought you in football. The Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup first round draws, the balls that came out the hat were as follows. The first round, St John's against Onchan, Corinthians against Maroun, Douglas Royal against Douglas and District, Colby against Ayr, Michael against Laxey, Ramsey against St George's, and Ramsey Youth Centre and All Boys against Maloo, and Braddon against Peel. And in the Callow Cup, it was the first round draw. There were four ties to pull out the hat, and they are Rushen against Corinthians, Maroun against Ramsey, Ramsey Youth Centre and All Boys against Onchan, and Peel against Braddon. The Hospital Cup fixtures due to be played next Saturday. We'll bring you coverage of those throughout the afternoon on Saturday Live and on Thursday evening for the Cal Cup. Don't forget, you can always catch up on Saturday Sport Classified as a podcast over at manxradio.com, or you can subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Rob Pritchard is up at 6 o'clock with full coverage of AFC Liverpool against FC Isle of Man, live from the bowl in the NWCFL Premier Division, the penultimate game of the season for the Ravens, and they'll be hoping to keep up their current form. You can stay tuned to Manx Radio AM 1368 DAB and Manx Radio Digital for that.